So most of you know me as a priest, and because of that, you probably assume that I've just been a good, faithful Catholic all my life. But if that is your assumption, then you might be interested to know that that's actually not the case. I haven't always been a good, faithful Catholic. In fact, I drifted away from the Catholic Church back when I was in middle school. And I stayed away pretty much until I was in college. And during that time, while I was in college, I was living almost as if I never really was Catholic at all. And I was using the standards of the world as kind of my standard for my own morality and the way that I would live my life. But I noticed within myself a sense of unhappiness, an emptiness, a dullness in my life, a desire for something more. But I didn't know what exactly that was or what this pain was all about within my soul. So I tried to distract myself with other things, pleasurable things, like video games and movies and card games and board games and all sorts of other forms of entertainment. But as soon as that activity was over, as soon as it was finished, that dullness, that emptiness, that sadness, that abyss of misery would return. It was at its worst one night in the summer of 2004 when I was staying in Rolla to work as an undergraduate research assistant for a professor in the nuclear engineering department. And all my friends were gone for the summer, so I didn't have them to distract me from this emptiness either. And I started to think, what would the future hold? And I dreaded the idea of what could happen in the future, that I would have more of the same experience, more pain, more emptiness. And I didn't want that. In retrospect, it was kind of like what the ghosts of Christmas future did for Ebenezer Scrooge in the story A Christmas Carol, showing him what the future could be should his life continue the way that it is. And from what I saw, I really did not want that for my life. And so I did something I hadn't done in so many years. I actually got down on my knees and I started to pray, which was a strange thing for me at that time because I wasn't even sure if God was real. But I was so desperate. I really needed some help. And he seemed to be the only one that I could reach for at that time. And so I prayed. And at first it was awkward. I was uncertain of myself. Wasn't sure what I should be saying. But as I continued, I became more confident. And so I asked God to enter into my life and to fix it. I asked him to clean up the mess of my life that I had made. I prayed that he would come and set me free from this misery. I told him that I was sorry for my sins and that I would follow him in whatever way he wanted me to follow him. Because I figured whatever he had in mind for me, if he truly is this good and loving God, has to be better than what I was experiencing. And so I surrendered to him. And after a short period of time, I noticed I did gain this greater confidence that God is real, that he does care, and he will change things for me. So I had this sense of peace as well, a peace that allowed me to go to sleep that night. And so it was quite an interesting thing. It was like a light had entered into the darkness of my life. We heard about a light in our first reading. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Upon those who dwelt in the land of gloom, a light has shone. This prophecy from Isaiah shows us the hope that the people of Israel had, a hope that a Messiah would come, a Savior would come, a Messiah, someone, the Christ, would be there to save them from the darkness of their own lives, that he would shine a light into it. In that same passage, it also says, "For a child is born to us, a son is given us. Upon his shoulder dominion rests. Christ is the light of the world." And this light first came to us in the tiniest and humblest of ways. Our Lord came to us as a little baby who was kept in a manger. The Savior of the whole world was born And that's what we celebrate today, that our God has come to us. Jesus Christ is the Savior, but he outdid any expectations that the people had, because Jesus is God incarnate, the Word made flesh, God made man. Nobody really expected God to actually become human, to come down from heaven, to be with us. But our second reading helps us understand why he would do that. In our second reading, we heard, "The grace of God has appeared, saving all and training us to reject godless ways and worldly desires and to live temperately, justly, and devoutly in this age, as we await the blessed hope, the appearance of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to deliver us from lawlessness and to cleanse for himself a people as his own, eager to do what is good." And so he came to pour out his mercy, his grace upon us. He came to rescue us from the darkness of our lives. He came to save us and to give us eternal life. And throughout his life, he took that, went through his passion, died, and was risen from the dead. And all that he did here on earth was for our sake, to restore us to our relationship with God our Father, winning for us the grace of reconciliation with him by giving up his life on the cross, making a gift of himself, a gift purely out of love, one so pleasing to God it made up for more than all the sins of all of humanity for all time. And this can be hard for us to understand, and yet this love of God is so amazing that he would do that for us. It's kind of like if a king became a slave and then died the death of a criminal in order to set us free. But like, who would really do that? Who would want to undergo such suffering? Our God would want to do that for us, revealing his love and bringing us salvation. And he certainly set me free from the misery that I was trapped in. He was a light in the darkness of my life. That night back in Rolla, when I was praying, my relationship with God was restored. And that relationship continues to grow. The very next day, and the days that followed, I noticed that there wasn't just this peace and contentment, but there was also an excitement and anticipation of what God was going to do, how he was going to make changes in my life. And I started getting these strange thoughts. One of them was, go to Mass. I was just like, what? Why would I do that? Another thought was, go to the Catholic Newman Center. Again, it seemed so strange to me. I had been in Rolla for a few years, and not once had this occurred to me before. And yet, with these thoughts, there was a patience, a persistence, a gentleness, a loving tenderness with it. And simultaneously, I could feel within myself hesitation, anxiety, resistance to the idea of actually following these thoughts. And so it seemed clear that this was God. This was God responding to my prayer. This was God showing me how I can have a life of joy. This is God guiding me to happiness. And so I did. I did follow these inspirations. And life got better. But that's not to say that I'm perfect. I'm still a work in progress. That's not to say that there aren't any difficulties or challenges in my life, because there certainly are. But being in relationship with the Lord gives me the strength to overcome whatever difficulties or challenges I may face in this life. This relationship with God, though, it also includes the church, because God wishes to give us his grace through the church, through other people as well. Being a part of this community helps us grow closer to the Lord. And just thinking about how God came to me so long ago and brought this newness of life, this light in the darkness, is a source of joy for me. And thinking about how God became man to save all of us, all of humanity, should be a source of great joy for all of us. that he would care about us so much. We heard in our gospel passage how the angels had appeared to the shepherds, and the joy that the angels had, and the joy that they shared with the shepherds. And the shepherds, believing what the angels told them, filled with that joy, went to see for themselves everything that the angels told them. And when they saw things just as it was described to them, they were so overjoyed that they had to tell the story of what happened with the angels. They had to reveal that to Mary and Joseph. I too, experiencing such joy from what God has done for me, felt compelled to share that with all of you. The shepherds shared their information so that others would believe and participate in that joy. I share for you my reversion story to help you to believe, in hopes that you would also share in that joy. For some people, it can still be difficult to believe. If they're in that situation, I would suggest that you imitate Mary's response to the words of these shepherds, to keep them in your heart and to ponder them, to reflect upon them. And in doing so, gaining new insight as to what their meaning is and how God is at work in our lives. For those who aren't in relationship with Jesus, I encourage you to invite him into your life, to ask him to come in, to be a part of your life, so that he can show you a better way of life, a way of joy, and not from the fleeting pleasures of this world, but something that deeply satisfies us, our hearts, our souls. Because God made us for more than what we can find here on earth. He made us for himself. And so being in relationship with him is the only way we can satisfy that. And for those who are already in relationship with God, I would encourage you to invite him into perhaps a dark spot in your life. Yes, being in relationship with God, there's light in our lives, but sometimes we try to hide parts of our lives because we're afraid of what God may say or do about it. But really, the joy comes in letting him into that darkness, being open and honest and sincere in our prayers with the Lord. That is very pleasing to him. And it opens us up to recognize how he may respond to us. And so let us all think of at least one way that each and every one of us can better grow closer to our Lord Jesus. Let us think of a way that we can do that for this Christmas. Making that way that we draw closer to him, kind of like our present to the Lord, our gift to him during this Christmas time. Let's let him be the light of our world, because he loved us so much that he was willing to come to us, not only as a little baby about 2,000 years ago, but he's even willing to come to us here and now. Our Lord loves us so much, he even comes to us in the Eucharist. He comes to us at this altar. He comes to us to be united with us. So let us prepare ourselves to encounter him in the most holy Eucharist.